I've never actually had challenges in building businesses to seven figures. Yeah. When I built to multi eight figures, yeah, I've had challenges. Yeah. Hey, business owners, this one's for you. Today, we are talking about how do you take a business from six figures, which is a six-figure business up to 100,000, to seven figures, which is a bigger business, which takes you into the million-pound bracket. And that is what today's questions are all about.
So yeah, the first question is when you're scaling from six to seven figures, what opportunities and challenges does this transition sort of present for business owners and entrepreneurs?
Okay, so six-figure business being a business that does, you know, 100,000 in revenue, or you can be multi six figures, 200,000, 300,000 in revenue versus a seven-figure business, which takes you into the million-pound bracket. You know, the major significant differences are the fact that you can't do it all alone, right? So if we look at a six-figure business driving up to your first £100,000 in revenue, usually that is a business owner that is the head, the one-man army, up to the six figures. That usually is the business owner going out, doing all the work, putting all the effort in, making sure that they create the product, they create the service, they're involved still in the delivery of the product or service, and they're very much still involved and working every single day in the business. And when you ask what's the difference between the six-figure and the seven-figure business, it is the fact that that six-figure business owner has found the way to actually start to relinquish control, bring other people into the team, and started to actually build a business rather than being, you know, the head of their own job, right? Which a six-figure business usually is. Now, the irony is, obviously, we train thousands of business owners. A lot of those business owners that we train sometimes have a belief issue around, can they grow to six figures, let alone seven? Yeah. So I actually want to deal with that very quickly. And one of the examples I give at the events sometimes is I'll actually ask, and you know, we can ask the people that are watching now as well, is how many of you feel that it's difficult to grow a business to six figures? Now, of course, people that have never done it before, they will raise their hand and they will say, yeah, I think it's difficult. But people that have done it before will realize it's not difficult. And then it depends on what strategy you take to the business's growth. Yeah. So for example, let's imagine you went out and you sold lollipops. How many lollipops do you need to sell to make £100,000 in revenue if the lollipops are £1 each?
100,000. Yeah, good maths, mate. Quick maths.
You got it, right?
100,000, yeah.
I knew you had potential, right? Right, so you've literally got, you've got to sell 100,000 lollipops to make £100,000.
A lot of lollipops.
Now, that's a lot of lollipops. And, you know, you're going to have to really be going some to go and do that.
Yeah.
Now, if you sold products for £1,000, you only need to go and sell 100 products.
Yeah.
So that is 8.33 per month, which is you've got a full, you know, 30 days, 31 days to sell eight products to eight people. Actually, it's an easier task. Yeah. And if you sold products at £10,000, well, you need to sell 10 a year.
Yeah.
So you only need to find like one a month
yeah,
in order to actually go and build your business past six figures. So a lot of the time, the strategy that you are applying and the product pricing really does come into that revenue growth. Okay, so let's now consider that. That's the first first thing to consider. So the person that is watching that is a new startup business, what we might have done is somebody that's early, they might have their strategy, because you hear it all the time. It's like, I'm going to sell t-shirts for a tenner.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to sell t-shirts for a tenner, you have to sell a lot of them, right, in order to start to get six figures, eventually get seven figures, get eight figures. You've got a long journey. You've got a long road in front of you, where, you know, if you were to do something different, then you would be able to create a different result much, much faster. And obviously, we're just talking about revenue here, and the profit comes into that. But really what we want to look at, then going to seven figures, is you're discovering who you are from zero to six figures. And what are you discovering? You are essentially finding out what we call proof of concept. Can you come up with an idea, come up with a product or service, go out to the market and get people to say yes to you and buy that product or service from you, and you do that enough times to get proof of concept that you have now done £100,000 in revenue. What does that mean? It means that you've developed a product or service, you've overcome the fears of putting yourself out there, you've done some marketing or some networking or delivered a good service, got referrals or repeat business, and you've done that consistently enough to get some evidence that you are able to compete in a marketplace and get people to say yes to you. That's what six-figure business is, but you're still very much involved in the business as the business owner. So really, what do you need when it comes to being a seven-figure business owner getting to the £1 million? Well, what you really need now is you need a consistent traffic source which doesn't rely on you. So remember, you got to your six figures, you went out, you sold your product or service, you did your networking, your repeat business, your referrals, you went out, you grounded it out. You know, you were doing, you were coming up with the offer, you're coming up with a service, you're doing all the work, doing all the work. Well, what you need to do now is you get to that six figures and you say, right, okay, how do I now
remove myself,
drive leads and inquiries inconsistently that doesn't require my time? And this is even before you remove yourself. So first of all, that might be that you're going to go, right, I'm going to use Google Ads, so I don't need to go out to B&I at 6:30 every week and have a bacon sandwich to get my next lead. So you're going to invest in Google Ads to drive some traffic. I'm going to invest in Facebook Ads to drive some leads into my business, so I don't need to rely on referrals from people. I'm actually going to generate leads. And really, what we're looking for is, how are you driving cold inquiries into your business so you then can then grow without the involvement of your time? And that's like that next phase of coming out to six figures and to start to grow. Now, you take that consistent traffic source, and now when I said it's all about the relinquishment of control, you're like, how do I take myself off dealing with those inquiries? How do I take myself off the sales part? How do I take myself off delivering that product or service? And now you are removing your involvement continuously just to allow you to keep growing, and you're now building a team. So what do you need to be a seven-figure business? You need the six-figure proof of concept that your product or service is good. The experience, the customer service, the good information that you add value, a product or service that solves a problem. You need that first bit, which is where you get your evidence in that six-figure phase. What you then need is a consistent traffic source and a team that is able to convert that business and deliver that business with your limited time involvement to allow you to continue growing. And what you really transition to being for the business is you start to be the marketer of the business that's leading that business from the front. And then, of course, you start to relinquish control there as well by getting your marketing team in and so on and so on. So it's a lengthy to the question there, Charlie.
No, but you like you said, you've got to try and build a team around you so you can focus on on scaling the business instead of, as you said, like working for the business. Like, you can work on scaling the business as much as possible.
And then you're making, so essentially the skill sets as you're as a 6 to 7 figure business owner is you're building a brand. So if you really, and this is what my inner circle does. So my inner circle, where I train businesses, what do we focus on? We focus on the halo effect, building a brand for either your personal brand or your business brand to make yourself stand out, number one. Number two, building a top of funnel, which is a consistent flow of new leads coming into your business, new inquiries or traffic. Now, if your e-commerce is traffic, if your product or service-based business, it's new leads. So we're going to drive new leads in from paid acquisition channels. We focus on what we call a demo of power, which is given a demonstration to people of what you can do for them before you even ask for the business. Really building a solid sales process, a good operational fulfillment, which is your team, and then being able to renew, cross-sell, which is your list, your database, building a continued relationship. Yeah. They're essentially the steps. It's very simple for any business to go from that six figure to seven. And this is the thing, actually, right? This is the mad thing. It ain't hard to build a £1 million business. The first 100,000
is the hardest bit.
Is way harder than the million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
way harder than.
Because once you've got the foundations, you can then learn how to, like, you're just multiplying that and scaling that and doing everything on a bigger scale. And once you've got a team, you can then, as you said, focus on doing that.
Yeah, and you're not doing all the work anymore in the end.
Yeah.
Your other people start doing it. So it's actually, this is the thing, a lot of people get stuck at the six-figure mark because they grinded it out. They put the effort in. They put all that time, attention, effort. Mm. They were grinding. And then they don't want to let go.
Yeah, and they can't let go of giving someone else the power of doing the sales or doing the marketing or looking after those sort of things.
And that's why they get stuck.
So that's that's the mindset that you need, basically. So once you get to that certain point, is there a significant point that you can remember or that you would pinpoint to go, right, now is the time. Obviously, when you get to like that certain threshold in finance or in profit and revenue, but is there any other factors that you're like, okay, now is the time where I need to start employing a team and working on the business?
Well, the thing is, any business I start now, I just decide to skip the entire startup phase.
Yeah.
Like, why the hell would I want to do that?
Yeah.
Why would I want to grind out and go and do that? I wouldn't do that. I would just straight away move into scale phase. What's the brand of the business? Mm. How am I going to drive leads and inquiries into that business? Mm. How am I going to give a really great demonstration? How am I going to get a sales team to convert those leads? Mm. How am I going to get a team to operate the operations? I'll skip the startup phase.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do that anymore. Like I did that in the beginning.
Yeah.
I did that with my finance business. I did that with the car business. To some degrees, I did that with the events business. Mm-hmm. But I actually skipped a lot of the startup phase with the events business because I hired a team immediately. Yeah, because you do. You know, marketing businesses that I've had, I hired a team immediately. Mm. So I now decide to skip that phase. Yeah. Because it is the painful phase.
Yeah.
And the faster that the people that are watching can get through that phase, the better. Now, how do they get through it? Well, you need people that have been through it.
Yeah.
You need people that can show you what to do, because that way you can skip the pain. You can skip the long way, the hard way, the grindy way, and you can move straight away into the growth way. I don't know if that answers.
No, it does. I think it definitely does. Mm. Because I liked what you said about because my next question was, and you discussed a few there, like what are some of the key strategies that people would do in when they go scaling? And like you said, you've got like the halo effect and you work on your funnel and the demonstration of power. Could you explain a little bit more about the demo of power and what demo power we use in big business events and how other businesses can use that demonstration of power to generate more
so
leads.
So a few things. So looking at halo effect, the halo effect is what you do as a brand to shine a light over your activities to show people who you are and build relationships, right? To get to people to know you, like you, trust you. That's what the halo effect is. Mm. Now, the first thing you do is you have to choose, are you building a business brand or are you building a personal brand or are you building both? Right? That's the first thing we need to do. Do you want to build your personal brand? Do you want to build your business brand or do you want to build both? Mm-hmm. Then once you've made that decision, you look at the standard branding. Obviously, I could talk for weeks on branding. Mm. Right. Then you look at how do you want to be positioned? How do you want to be positioned? You know, for example, personal brand, what am I? I'm a business growth expert. Mm. That's what I do. That is how I am positioned. I help businesses grow. I help businesses make money. Mm. Now, I have to make that decision as how I want to be positioned.
Yeah.
Because I could be perceived as many different things. I could be perceived as a social media expert.
Yeah.
Why? Because I've built I could be perceived as many different things, but I want to be perceived as a business growth expert because that's what I like doing. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm best at. So you make that decision and then you build the halo effect around your positioning, right? That's the halo effect. Then the top of funnel is now that we know that's how we want to be positioned. And then if you look at what we're doing now, what activity is this? This is halo effect marketing. We are not calling people to action.
Yeah.
We are not offering people a product as we're talking now. We're not saying go and buy this.
Yeah.
This is purely relationship building.
Valuable content.
Yeah, and people are watching. Mm. And if they're a six-figure business that wants to get to seven, they're going, oh, I get it now, you know.
Yeah.
I probably haven't relinquished control enough. I probably am trying to do everything myself. Do you know what? Adam could help me get to 6 to 7 figures.
Yeah.
And I'm building that relationship, and we're building that relationship with people that want that help. So what we're doing here is Halo,
yeah.
Okay, and building relationships. We send this out to our clients as well, yeah. So they can get to see an insight on conversations,
yeah.
Which builds the Halo. So this is what Halo Effect is. When someone walks in the room with me,
yeah.
At the event, even if I've not met them, they already know who I am.
Yeah.
And if they've already consumed 8, 9, 10 hours of content and information, there's one or two things could happen. One, they really like me and they want to do business with me. Two, fucking hate me, right? But it'll be one of the two, you know, and whatever it
they
is.
They can form an opinion already.
Yeah. They've seen you. Okay, so they'll have an informed opinion.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if they've decided to come in person and come and spend some time, they probably like us.
Yeah.
There's lots of people that probably went, I don't like him, and I've gone somewhere else. And that's fine, right? You know, because look.
You can't please every single person.
I'm a business growth expert. And if the person that is watching doesn't want to grow a business,
then not for
it's
you.
Not for them.
Yeah.
Because it's not what I do. Right? Yeah. So that's what you build Halo around. Once you build Halo, what you need to say is, hey, I'm a business growth expert. I want businesses that want to grow.
Mm.
My top of funnel, how am I going to get my message to as many people that want to grow their businesses as possible? And how am I going to dangle the carrot and get the message in front of them so they know that I can help them?
Yeah.
And the demo of power is, what am I going to offer them as value?
Yeah.
Before I make a saleable offer, I'm going to say, what can, you know, hey, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what I do. This is how I can help you.
Yeah.
Do you want to come and spend a day with me for free where I show you how to do X, Y, Z? Mm. So, for example,
it's
that's
like a try
demo
before you buy. I mean, they get to see it. Yeah.
Which all the biggest companies in the world do is they have a demo of power.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix, they give you the entire product for free for 14 days. You can go watch as much of it as you want. And you know, after 14 days, whether you want to stay with Netflix.
Yeah.
And Netflix are like, we know we're awesome. Like,
you know,
if
you're going to stay on anyway.
You're going to stay.
Yeah.
So there really is no risk. But what actually happens is a lot of business owners don't feel confident about their product or service, have stinking thinking. And what stinking thinking is, well, if I give people stuff for free, then they're not, you know,
that kind of stuff. Trapped in that
mindset. Yeah, you know, really, the reality of the situation is that the more you give, the more you'll receive.
If you know you've got a good product, then like you said, there is no risk. Because even if you give it away for free, they're going to want to stay for the long haul anyway, because you know you've got a good product.
And they're going to go, well, hey, if I get this for free,
imagine what I can get.
What am I going to get when I actually sit down and get coaching and mentoring and get that help that I need? Well, I'm going to make that big transition. And essentially, that's what a demo of power is. So the way that we do it with free trainings online.
Mm.
We do it with free in-person events.
Yeah.
We do it with different training modules and things that we give away for free in order to build relationships, to help people to get to know us, to generate leads in our top of funnel, right?
And
that all connects together, That's how we do it.
Yeah, perfect. And then I think my final sort of question is, you might have touched on it a little bit, but when people are transitioning from that six figure to seven figure, what are some of the challenges that they need to sort of watch out for? And some, obviously you've grown a few businesses and more multiple businesses. What are some that maybe tripped you up even the second time that they need to definitely watch out for when scaling? Or is there certain challenges that you see a lot of business owners going through at the moment?
I think the mindset is definitely a challenge. It's one of the main things. I think that I've never actually had challenges in building businesses to seven figures.
Yeah.
When I built to multi eight figures, I've had challenges.
Yeah.
You know, and the challenges when I'm like 40 million a year and, you know, you've got £8.8 million worth of funding and you've got multiple banks involved or investors and funders involved.
More responsibility from all areas.
That's much more, it's not necessarily much more challenging. It's different challenges.
Yeah.
And then it's a different set of skills, actually. Yeah, yeah. It's a different set of skills to be able to handle that versus a seven-figure business. Mm. Actually, I think building a seven-figure business is not that difficult. And what I would say, and look, obviously it's what I do.
Yeah.
And sometimes people can take that the wrong way because it's what I do. But I can sincerely say that the best thing that I have done in order to help me to grow multiple businesses through seven and eight figures, I've done that multiple times, is that I've had the right coaches.
Yeah.
So basically what I do is I always look for people that have done what I want to do. And I go to them and I say, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
How can you help close that gap for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I get their guidance, I get their advice, and I still do that to this day.
Yeah.
And I do it frequently because
they've already been there and done that.
It just shortens the time gap, and it helps the mindset because you want to have high level strategic conversations where when you do have a bit of stinking thinking and you have a bad day on the mindset,
you're
a phone call away and saying, hey, what do you think about this? And straight away it's like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, and basically what I'm trying to say here is you want people around you that will challenge you.
Mm.
And the problem is with most business owners, six-figure business owners, moving towards seven-figure business owners, no one's challenging them.
Yeah.
Their employees are saying yes to them.
Everyone's a yes.
Yeah,
man.
Everybody's a yes person. They're setting the standards, the example, all the way through their business, and they've got no one calling them out.
Mm.
And it's only when you have people calling you out and challenging you that you can rejig your thinking and make better decisions.
You can't always see it as well when 100%. You're in it. When you've got other people like higher up, you'd be like, no, you need to do it this way. Like, how can you not see you're doing it that way? It's a lot more easier to see it.
You definitely need people to challenge you. You need people to guide you. You need people that are high level that essentially are going to challenge your thinking. So I think mindset is a big thing to watch out for. I think risk appetite. And this is the thing about business, right? If you're smart in business, you can ring fence most of the risk.
Mm.
And most business owners don't get that, is that actually they can ring fence different elements of risk. They can ring fence assets. They can go to market with risk, but not actually risk stuff.
But these are protected.
But they don't have that strategic advice to be able to do that. So when they do risk, they risk everything, not knowing that they didn't need to risk
everything
because they haven't had strategic advice. So I think strategic advice, very, very important as well. So mindset. And then look, basics, you've got to be a marketer. I often say to our clients at the events that there's three identities that they all need to take on if they want to be really successful in business. They need to take on the identity of being a marketer.
Yeah.
You are a marketer for your business, and it is your job to... It's no good saying, well, I'm not a marketer. I don't know what
the idea... No one's ever going to hear about
that. Yeah, no... Well, you know, and you're expecting that you can hire a marketing company and they're going to come in and wave a magic wand on your business and make you a multimillionaire. It ain't going to happen. You have got to take responsibility and say, I am going to study marketing, own marketing, lead marketing from the front, come up with the ideas, set the standards, and you've got to develop that skill set. So you need to be a marketer. You need to be a salesperson.
Yep.
And that is a second identity because you're always selling. You're selling yourself. You're selling the business. You're selling your ideas. You're selling the vision. You're selling to banks. You're selling to investors. Yeah. You're selling to staff. You're selling to your customers, your clients, everybody. You're always selling.
Closing deals.
So you've got to be that person as well, which is super important, that identity. And then finally, you've got to be the business owner.
Yeah.
You have got to be that business owner because there are a lot of people that they go, well, I'm not, they take on a different identity. So they're like, I'm not a business owner, I'm a carpenter.
Yeah.
No, you have a carpentry business and you are a business owner.
Yeah.
That is your identity, and you also have the identity as a carpenter. Now, the thing that we can do to get you to grow is to get you to give up your identity as a carpenter as soon as possible and say that I'm a carpentry business owner.
It's like what you said, a lot of people, you always ask them, like, how long have you worked in your trade? And they'll go, oh, yeah, 20 years. But then how long have you been a business owner? Well, they've only just started. And just like you said, it's completely different. Like, even if you are a carpenter, then trying to become a business owner. It's a completely different game.
So there's some really, I think there's some good value in there, some good tips of how business owners go from six to seven figures, do it fast, do it strategically, do it without the risk. And some great questions there today, Charlie.
Cheers, mate.
So hopefully you've enjoyed that episode. And if you have, go and leave us some comments in the chat. Tell us what business you are in, what identities you have as a business owner. If you want tips, you want guidance, you want help, tell us in the comments. We will be making future videos that address the comments and the help that you need to grow your business. And of course, go and share this episode with somebody that needs the help. Go and find the three dots, click the share button, go and take this out to help a business owner that really needs to make that transition, to take them from a six-figure business owner to a seven-figure business owner, to stop doing all the work and start getting all the benefits in their business. And hopefully you've really enjoyed this. Go and share it with someone now. I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Hey everybody, Adam here, and I hope you loved today's episode. Hope you thought it was fabulous. And if you did, I'd like to ask you a small favor. Could you jump over and go and give the podcast a review? Of course, I'll be super grateful if that is a 5-star review. We're putting our all into this podcast for you, delivering you the content, giving you the secrets. And if you've enjoyed it, please go and give us a review and talk about what your favorite episode is, perhaps. Every single month, I select someone from that review list to come to one of my exclusive Academy days and have lunch with me on the day, meeting hundreds of my clients. So if you want that to be you, then you're going to be in with a shout if you go and give us a review on iTunes. Please, of course, do remember to subscribe so you can get all the up-to-date episodes. Peace and love, and I'll see you very, very soon. Thank you.